Proverbs 21, the 16th verse. This is a very interesting passage. Proverbs 21 and verse number 16. And I'm going to read the verse, key in on one particular word, and study that out here this evening. Proverbs 21, verse number 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead, passage says. Again, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. And we thank you, Father, for your help. And God, just for the opportunity to open your word and to have it to hold and to read and to study and to preach out of, God, and just declare. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who's been given to lead us and guide us in all truth. We thank you for the understanding, God, that you bless us with, so that we don't just know the words of this book, but are able to understand the principles and precepts and your thoughts behind it, and on, God. Your understanding is amazing. It's even at times, as your word says, past finding out. But God, thank you for illuminating it to us and blessing us with opportunities to understand what you say, how you say it, why you say what you say, and all the ins and outs of thy precious word. Bless tonight. Help us to understand this text of Scripture. Might it be a help to us. And God will thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The word wandereth here means to vacillate. It means to reel or to stray, to go astray, to stagger, to be out of the way. Amen. And so that's what the word wandering from, if you will, the path of God, the will of God, wandering from the place that God would have you to be. We're going to look at a couple passages tonight and kind of along these lines. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37. I'm going to give an example here of what wandering would be. And it's really brought forth pretty well here in this portion of Scripture in reference to Joseph. And he actually got to the place that he wandered. And it kind of shows, in essence, when wandering comes in, and then when you would not be wandering. This is a really interesting portion of Scripture. Genesis 37, and in verse number 12, and remember, Joseph was sent to go check out the brethren. They were out with the flocks, and his dad sent him to go check on them. And this is he when he was on the way to go check him out. It says in verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flocks in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with thy flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed thence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. So what took place here was Joseph received some instruction from his father. He received direction. And so he was able to go on that path. And he said, go to Shechem. And sure enough, Joseph went to Shechem. And when he got to Shechem, he didn't see the brethren there. He was checking all around. I'm not sure the ins and outs of all that, but he began to wander, kind of looking. And they were a large group, so it wouldn't have been all that necessarily hard to find, or at least people that would know. And so he started wandering. In a sense, his direction had ended. His instruction had ended. The instruction got him to Shechem, but his instruction didn't take him beyond Shechem. He was looking for the brethren in Shechem because that was the direction. The direction said, go to Shechem, look for the brethren, find out how they're doing, come back, report to me. But when he got there, there was a piece missing, the brethren, right? The cattle. And so he inquired, and upon inquiry, it was determined, oh, they went to Dothan. So the man said he went there, he got more direction. So once he got direction, the wandering ceased. Amen? And so we wander, we tend to wander when we stop following the direction from our Father, if you will. When we stop following the direction from the Word of God, we enter into a state of wandering until we receive further instructions. That's a really good understanding of where wandering comes in. We stop following that direction, we then begin to wander. Once we get direction again and receive that, now we're back on path, now we're back on track, we're no longer wandering. Look over at Numbers 14. It's common, we talk about how Israel wandered in the wilderness. Well, that is the verbiage, that is the description that God actually gives in reference to Israel. And what we'll find is Israel had direction. They had leadership, they had direction, and it got them out of Egypt. The direction actually got them across the Red Sea, and they actually made it up to Baal Peor, and they actually, at that point, were going to go in and spy out the land. They followed God's direction until the spies came back out. And then the spies, remember, 10 spies said, oh man, there's giants in that land. There's no way we're going to be able to beat down those people in there. They got walled cities. They're big. We can't go in there. So as soon as they stopped following God's direction, though at that point they weren't physically wandering, they were spiritually wandering. They had stopped following the direction, and then ultimately that would lead to a physical wandering. And until they would follow God's direction again. But note here in Numbers 14 and in verse number 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. This is what God says to Israel. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. So basically their fear was, if we go into that land, not only are we going to die, but our little ones are going to die. We're going to be destroyed. They failed to understand it from God's perspective. God said, you go into that land, I will give it to you. I will give it to you. Now, because they decided to understand with their own understanding and not from God's perspective, like, by the way, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tell us, do trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, right? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, right? So because they chose to do it on their own with their own understanding, they wandered from God's understanding. Very interesting, like our text says, now they will be amongst the congregation of the dead. All those that made that decision that were above 20 years old, they were the adults who were making that decision, they would all have to die in the wilderness. And then the children would have to wander with them until all those had died. Because they despised the commandment of God and the understanding of God, the direction of God, verse number 32 says, but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, meaning they'll have no specific direction. They're going to have to wait out the death of all those above 20 years old, and they're just going to wander with no direction for those years. And it says, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness after the number of the days in which ye searched out the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear the iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So again, wandering. Israel, as long as they were following God, they were doing well. But when they began to wander from God, remember, wandering doesn't start physically. It starts spiritually. It starts in our mind. It starts in our heart. We begin to question God. We begin to wander from the commandment. We begin to wander from what God says is true and faithful. And we begin to wander from him in heart. And before too long, you'll also be wandering physically. As long as we're following the Lord, then we're not wandering. As soon as we leave off from following God, first in heart, then it'll come physically, we begin to wander. And we see it here. And the end result was death. And that's what our text says in Proverbs 21, 16. It says, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding, that's God's understanding, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. They that hate me love death, right? That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. And so the death is really, death is not just, it doesn't mean cessation to exist. Death is referring to separation from the living, separation from life, separation from God. That's what death is. There's a whole lot of people walking around in our world who are dead. They are dead in their trespasses and their sins. They're the congregation of the dead, according to Ephesians 2. And so the Bible says, once you wander away from God's understanding, then you will find yourself in the congregation of those that also live outside of his understanding, and that is the congregation of the dead. Look over at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. This passage also is pointing back to the wanderings of Israel. And it actually says a couple things here also in reference to some things that take place in reference to the wandering away from God. And it says in Psalm 107, verse 4, they, referring to Israel, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Solitary meaning desolate. It was just a wilderness. God's will wasn't there. God's plan wasn't there. Now, his provision was there because he promised to Abraham and down through. He did take care of them, but that is not where God intended them to be. He wanted them to be in the promised land. That was his will. But so they wandered in a desolate place, a solitary place. They found no city to dwell in. Whenever we start wandering from God, then we are in a very obscure place. We are in a place with no dwelling place. Everything is loose. By the way, we are not to meddle with those that are given to change. Why? Because they're not solidified. They're not solid. They don't know where they're supposed to be. And we're not supposed to meddle with them. They're still trying to figure it out. Amen. We don't have to figure it out because we're just following the one that's already got it figured out. Amen. And that's Jesus Christ. I don't have to figure out the ins and outs of everything. I just need to be obedient to God and his word and trust him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he will lead me. He'll be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. I don't have to know what's around the corner because I'm following the one that already knows what's around that corner. Amen. That's how we live as Christians. Amen. But if we wander away from that understanding, now we're on our own. And when we're on our own, it's an uncertain place. And it is a place of wandering. And Israel soon found that out. Look at verse number 5 of Psalm 107. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. So those kids learned a lot in those wanderings. They learned not to do what mom and dad did. Amen. And by the time God led them up to the other side of the Jordan, and Moses gave Deuteronomy, which was the reiteration of the law, which their parents rejected in a sense, amen. Once that, they were ready, amen. They were ready to follow God across that Jordan River that he opened for them and follow them all the way through. They were ready. They learned a few things and they cried out to God and he delivered them. And that's how it works. If you find yourself in a place of wandering, you need to realize why you're there. You got there because you chose to do it your way. You chose to wander out of God's way. You chose to, you know, make excuse and say, well, God, I didn't understand. No, you understood. You wanted just a little bit more understanding that wasn't yours to have at that point. And so you chose to wander away from God. And then it cost you. You see, it always costs you in that place of wandering. Verse number 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. Now, there are many reasons that a person would find himself wandering in life. I'm just going to give you a couple thoughts on that. No doubt there's more than just these couple. But turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Sometimes we wander because of the sinful influences of others that we accept. Now, the only people that can influence you are the ones that you allow to influence you. Amen? Influence means it's something you allow to come in. Amen? There's a lot of people that I talk to, know, do things with and all that, but I'm not letting them spiritually influence me. It wouldn't be smart. Amen? And so I decide who influences me. I decide who does not influence me, and so do you. Amen? So when somebody leads us astray, it's bad they did that. They'll give an account for that. God will take care of that. But it's on you. The Bible says it's a command. Be not deceived. We are not to go in the way of the evil man. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Good verse to have memorized. Amen? It's on you. You're never going to stand before God and say, God, I would have never went astray if it wasn't for those evil influences. True, the evil influence will have to give an account, but you have a choice. You choose who you will befriend. You choose who you let influence you. And if you choose wrongly, it's on you. It's not on somebody else. Amen? You are the one that's accountable for the influences that you accept in your life. Now, in 2 Chronicles 33, we have a king named Manasseh. And he was not the best of kings for sure. But notice what it says about him. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He was an old guy, 12 years old. And he began to be a king at 12. All right? And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. 55 years he was reigning as king. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. Hezekiah was a good king. Sometimes we lose sight of that. How in the world did Hezekiah have a son named Manasseh who did all this? That is crazy, amen. That's a warning to us that our children are not exempt. Just because we have a few things figured out and that we want to serve the Lord doesn't mean that our children are. Matter of fact, some of the worst kings was first generation after good kings. Amen? That's a warning. That's not just a warning to us as parents. That is a warning to you, young people that have good parents. Amen? And so nonetheless, it says in verse number 3, he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Also, he built altars in the house of the Lord, wherefore the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Blasphemous. Verse number 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with familiar spirit and with wizards. And he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, is Manasseh, does it sound like this is the guy you want influenced by? Is this the guy you want to emulate? Is this the guy? Now, he's king. He's king. He's an authority in the land. But is this the guy that you want to follow and participate in what he's doing? Absolutely not. It says that that he provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 7, and he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the law of Moses and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. Look at verse 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Keep that in mind. Flip over to Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. Just because Manasseh was a wicked, evil king, and many of them were, it doesn't cause the recompense to be removed from Israel because they were led in these practices. They will then deal with it because they chose to follow their leadership into apostasy. By the way, back in our text, the word err there, it literally means to err, means to wander in that regard. They erred by following Manasseh away from God. They erred because they followed the king into the worship of the hosts of heaven and the idolatrous practices. They erred. The word err there literally means the wandering away from God and the commandment. Isaiah 9 and verse 15. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. I want you to know, you better make sure that who you're following is right with God and is doing right by God. And if you happen to be in a case like they were, 55 years under the leadership of Manasseh, they might not have been able to get under different leadership, but they themselves determined what they were going to allow to influence them and what they participated in. You say, yeah, but it says he made them to err. I'm sure he put a lot of pressure on them, just like we are having more and more pressure put on us, amen. But Joshua was still the one who said earlier, actually, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And God rewarded those in these different time frames that chose to do it. Even when Israel wandered away from the Canaan land into the wilderness wanderings, Caleb was named, Joshua was named, both of them, while they still had to go through the wilderness, they were blessed by God and honored by God because they chose to do right in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. The Word of God is our tool to be able to discern in this day that we live whether we are getting good advice or not, whether we are being led right or not. It's 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 21 that says, "Prove all things and hold fast that which is good." We must prove it by the Word of God. We can't just arbitrarily follow and then just say, well, my authority said to do so. I understand authority very well, but we better be appealing to that authority. We better be proving it by the Word of God and doing our part to make sure we are not led astray first in heart and then in practice. Amen. It starts in heart. It's John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I wonder if Israel ended up having Manasseh as a king for 55 years because they willingly followed Manasseh into apostasy. And I wonder if the whole nation would have had a different heart and had the heart, if you will, of Hezekiah. And if they would have said to Manasseh, "No, we are not going to go against God." And if they would have repented, if they would have sat in sackcloth and ashes and spent that time appealing to authority and crying out, and if the priests of that day and all those would have done that, I wonder if they would have had a 55-year-long reign of Manasseh in that day. I don't think so. I think what happened was is that the people way too easily followed the heir of Manasseh. They let him lead them astray. Think about Aaron and Moses. Moses is up on the mountain. Aaron is down there. And God says, "Get down." They're corrupting themselves. And there's Aaron. He's with the gold, molting it and molding and all that. And then gives that lie about, "Look, we threw that gold in there and a calf came out," and all that. The people were willing to follow Aaron in apostasy. They were all in it together. If you're not wanting to go into apostasy, you shouldn't go into apostasy. If you're not wanting to do wrong, you shouldn't do wrong. If it's in your heart to do right, you can't blame your friends for, oh, it's not my fault. Someone else led me into doing that. No, no, no. It is on you. You can say no. You can choose God's way over the way of apostasy. Look over at Proverbs 7. So you may have found yourself wandering because you led, or you were led by corrupt leaders. You were led by those that led you into a bad place. You were led by those that chose idolatry or chose wickedness or chose witchcraft, as we saw in that text, or chose all these things. It might be that you found yourself in a bad place because you were led there. And that's horrible that that's the case. But once you figure out that you're in a bad place, the way out is to cry back out to God and let God have his way in leading you out of that apostasy. You'll only be there as long as you want to be. Now, there may be some recompense, just like with Israel. And it may be that God wrote you off because you've done it way too many times and you keep doing it over and over and over again. Nonetheless, you must desire and seek to get out. Proverbs 7, verse 7. Proverbs 7, verse 7. Now, I want to read this whole text, but this is the passage that... There was a man in this text that made a willful decision. He's called a simple one. And he actually passes by the street near a corner. Verse number eight says, of a woman who was there, a woman of the night, if you will. It says in verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. He shouldn't have been out at night anyway, probably, amen. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn, her feet abode not in her house. And it says, now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. And it says, she caught him and kissed him and made an impudent face, said unto him, I have peace offerings and put on some religious show. Nonetheless, we find that he made the decision to go with her. Verse number 21 says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Amen. You say, look, the Bible says she caused him. It's her fault. He stuck around. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. And then he stuck around and listened to her lips moving. He looked at her. He allowed her to cause in that regard. Amen. At every verse in this, there was an opportunity for him to do like Joseph did. When Potiphar's wife came a-knocking at his door, amen, He fled and got him out. Amen. He said, I ain't going to have any part of this. Now, if he would have stuck around like this guy did, he might have yielded. He might have been caused to go the wrong way. But he recognized, I am not strong enough to be here right now in this place. Come what may, he left his garment, got himself out of there because he knew better. Amen. And so the point is in this text, he didn't know better. He chose not to understand what God says about this. And he chose to hang out and to communicate. She caused him to yield. It says in verse 21, with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And at that point, he's in trouble. Amen. Verse 22, he says he goeth after her straightway. Now it's he's going after her. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to snare and knoweth not it is for his life. This decision would be a life-altering decision for this man this day. Verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. What's he saying? Listen to me. God is saying, listen, don't go down that way. Listen to my words. Listen to my understanding. There's a trap. And once that trap begins to be sprung, you can't get out. Don't go down that path. Verse 25. Let not thine, what is that word? Heart. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path. Astray from what? The right path. Do not go astray. Do not choose the wrong path. Say, but I really feel like I want to go that way. We discussed that this morning. That is the lust of your flesh. Amen. You got to tell it no. You have to let the word of God constrain you. Amen. You have to let the word of God instruct you and get you out of these situations. By the way, in every one of these situations, there is a point where you're not going to be strong enough to turn away. There's going to be a point. Before that happens, you got to get out of these situations, amen. No matter our age in this room, we're adults, amen. Some are a little younger than some are a little older, but we're all adults. Every one of us have to know when we're in a bad place, amen. And we got to get out before the pressure and all of this is too strong for us to get out. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path. Watch this. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying don't depart from God's understanding in this. Amen. God is instructing us here. God is showing us something here. None of us are strong enough to make it through this and come out unwounded, or worse yet, destroyed. Amen. That's what this text is telling us. So we find it may be that a decision that you make will cause you to go astray. It wasn't this woman that caused him to go astray. It was his own heart. He was gullible enough to be led away from this woman. Amen. You just can't find yourself in that place. Also, another thing that will cause people to wander is what's called a spirit of whoredom. In Hosea chapter 4, you could turn over to Jeremiah 2 very quickly, but in Isaiah 4, in verse 11, the Bible says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks. That's too late. At their stocks mean you've already been taken away. And their staff declare it unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Some people have more of a spirit of whoredom than others, meaning some people are prone to wander from God and His commandment more than others. Some people are prone more to doubt. Some people are prone more to whoredom in the sense of idolatry. Some people are prone more to question God than others. Some people have more faith than others. Regardless, if you have that spirit of whoredom, you better listen up. You don't get a pass because you have a spirit of whoredom. Amen. God's not going to say, oh, wow, they were more prone to that. Then you better more listen. And you better more seek. You better understand your weakness there and really get yourself some knowledge of God and some understanding. Look over at Jeremiah 2, verse number 19. Say, why? Right here. Jeremiah 2, 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. You better be right. You better be right in the direction for your life. See, why you say that? Because your own direction, your own decisions, has a built-in correction factor. We find that last passage said that while they're in the stocks, that they will cry out to God. You don't got to wait till you're in the stocks, when you're in captivity, till you are bound up by your own direction. You can follow God today. You can follow the one that knows. You can follow the one that's right. You can follow the one that knows exactly how He made you and what you will thrive in as an individual. If you'll just stay on path with God, you will have a wonderful life. Amen. You will live your days in peace and in joy and spirit. Might not be easy days, but they'll be fulfilling days because you will have followed God's will. Or you can wander from that. And you can say, I think I can do a better job myself. I don't like how stiff, you know, God's people are. You don't got to be stiff, amen? I'm not stiff. So I think you are. Maybe you're a little too fluid, amen? I don't know. All I know is, if you don't have a backbone, yeah, you might just melt to the ground, amen, but that ain't good, amen? The point is this, is that you need to follow God's will for your life. You need to prove it out, and you can't lay it aside for anything, it'll cost you too much. Thy own backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and a bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. Have you noticed today in the young people there is no fear of God in their eyes? They'll stand up and speak against some one of God's men or their parents or anything else. They'll stand up to authorities. There is no fear of God anymore in the eyes of the youth. No respect. No respect for authority, which ultimately means no respect for God. God is the giver of authority. That is a problem in our day. You young people better listen up. You better gain yourself some fear of God. Amen. Here's the problem. God's not amused by the youth of this generation. And you don't get some special pass. Amen. The Bible says, verse 24, of old time, I have broken thy yoke, burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress. You know what that's saying? God here is saying, every time you get yourself in trouble, I get you out of trouble. And then you say, I will not transgress. What do you mean you will not transgress? You've been transgressing. And God has been bailing you out at every corner. And then it says, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. He's saying, Israel, every chance you have gotten, you have wandered. Hezekiah is done being king. Manasseh raises up, and you just follow him in his whoredoms. Every chance you get, you wander, is what God is saying. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine. So I didn't plan that for you. I wanted you to be a godly people, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Jeremiah is saying to them, just before captivity, he says, there is no reason we should be at this point. That's what Jeremiah is saying to them. There is no reason we should be led away captive today. It's your own wanderings that have done this to us. Some people just love to wander from what they know is right. Jeremiah 14, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord unto the people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. Most people today, there's a lot of people prone to wander. We all are prone in a general way to wander. But there are more people that are, just prone to absolutely wander. They'll get things right for a time, and before you know it, man, they're wandering again. That's where they're prone to. They love to wander. And Jeremiah here says that God does not accept them. He does not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Again, there's a lot of reasons people wander. Some people wander because they lack direction and are idle. In 1 Timothy 5, 8 through 15, it talks about the younger widow who was told there to marry and not to be idle because she would wander from house to house. Being idle, having nothing to do, leads to a wandering in heart, a wandering in mind, a wandering physically. We want to be careful. If you need something to do, please let me know. I'll help you not to wander. Amen. But you need to understand, hanging out in your house with nothing to do 24/7 is dangerous. Especially in the day we live, when you can get online in your own home and wander all over, house to house, person to person, chat room to chat room, and wicked room to wicked, all over the place, and hook yourself up on some date from a really nice guy or gal over in Zimbabwe. I'm just saying, there you can, in your own home, if you have nothing to do, get on these chat rooms of people that understand where you're at and feel for you because they're an expert. Just ask them, amen. And you can go on and find yourself wandering all over the place just because you don't have anything to do. Amen. So what do you want me to do? Well, if you're a young person, do your schoolwork, amen. If you're a little bit older, work. And if you're married and a lady of the home and all that, take care of the home, amen? There's plenty there to do. If you're a guy and got a day off, don't know what to do, don't just sit there and be a wanderer, amen? Do something productive, amen? Improve something. Go help somebody. Go preach the gospel somewhere, amen? Do something. Don't wander because you're idle, amen? So some people choose to wander because of that. And then lastly, last reason I'm going to give for why people wander, in Jude chapter, well, only one chapter of Jude, right? Verse number 8 through 13, it talks about what's called filthy dreamers. Verse 8 mentions, likewise also these filthy dreamers. These filthy dreamers, this passage goes on to say that they have wandered. They've wandered. They've corrupted themselves. They've wandered from what they know is right. They're wandering stars, and their tree and fruit and leaf all withereth. Why? Because they're a filthy dreamer. You know what a filthy dreamer is? Someone that's always thinking wrong thoughts. Filthy thoughts. Perverted thoughts. Girls and women dream about the knight in shining armor coming in and sweep them off their feet and everything being perfect, like this little harlequin or romance, this, that, and the other. And they have these dreams, these filthy dreams that are outside the will of God for them. Amen. And then they look at, if they're married, they look at their husband who's not anything that they've dreamt. They start wandering. Wandering stars. Young men are no better in their wanderings. As they wander from sight to sight, image to image in their mind of what they would like to have happen in reference to those types of things. Wander, filthy dreamers. And then people filthily dream about how they subvert authority in their lives. And that's what this is talking about. Actually, despised dominion is in that text. And how they dream about how they would be in charge and what they would do to mom and dad if they were in charge, or what they would do to their boss or governmental structure and all that. They're filthy dreamers. God has not given us a free pass on our thought life. Casting out every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Wandering from God starts with wandering in your mind and in your heart. Wandering from the Word of God and the understanding of God starts this way. We become filthy dreamers. We begin to think up things in our heart and mind that aren't right, and you know it's not right. And you think it'll never affect me, but it does. Because that's just where it starts. Our text said, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Do you want to remain in the congregation of the dead? Do you want to go there? If the answer is no, then you're going to have to do what it takes to keep from wandering. And the way you keep from wandering is you need to stay in the path with God. You need to stay on track with God. Psalm 119 says this, with my whole heart I have sought thee. And then it says, oh, this is Psalm 119, 10 and 11. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You might know the next verse very well, verse 11, which says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You must make a conscious decision to not wander. And when you feel yourself wandering away from the Word of God, you gotta stop it. And you gotta stop it quick. Because if you don't, before you know it, you're gonna be in that congregation of the dead where the life is sucked out of you. And the person of you, the person that you used to be walking with God doesn't exist anymore. That's where it leads. Ecclesiastes 6:19, interesting, says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. Say, what does that mean? It's better to keep your eyes open in reality and truth, amen, than to close your eyes and to be guided by your desire. It's better to keep your eyes open to what's really going on and not close those eyes and become a filthy dreamer and wander in that desire. Then lastly, Proverbs 27:8. You knew I had to mention a bird because the Bible talks a few times about wandering birds, amen. Proverbs 27:8. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. You know what the danger is for a bird wandering from his nest? Any bird that has a nest. The danger is this. There are predators out there that you become vulnerable to when you leave the protections of the nest. It doesn't really matter what age we are. Do you know there are people out there that if I would allow would destroy me? Yep. Say, what? You can handle yourself. That's a naive thought. Right. Not if I leave my place, I can't. Do you know for you, you have a place? God, right now where you live, where you exist, in this point in time, God has a place for you. We talked about that place in heaven, but God has a place for you on earth, in your family, in your church, around good people who love you and help protect you. But do you know that if you wander from that, those same things don't exist just because you're you? And you open yourselves up to a lot of stuff that will destroy you, just like a bird that wanders from his nest. Know your place and work from there. No matter where you're at in life, if you're where God wants you to be, God can enable you to flourish there. You say, but I don't like things that go on there. Well, you're a part of that. And there are things that you can do to make it better. Don't complain about everything else if you're not doing what you can do. Remember I mentioned Israel, 55 years under King Manasseh. Do you know why it took that long? I guarantee you. Because Israel wasn't doing what they could do. And they got the king they deserved. Can I say, we can complain about Biden all we want, but you know what? We got the king we deserve. I know, he's not really a king. But we really as a nation deserve Biden. As hard as it is, Sleepy Joe, you want to call him whatever, falling asleep when he's there talking with Israel. This is who we are as a nation. We've fallen asleep, haven't we? We're not discerning. We're not doing what we can do. The king reflects that, if you will, the president. So what do? Let's do our part. Let's make sure we're in our place. And let's serve God from that place. And let's not wander from that spot. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, dear God, for how you work in our lives. Thank you for the word of God. It's so powerful. God, just studying for these messages today have been a blessing and a help to me. I hope that they've been a help to all. But God, you've helped me today, and I thank you for that. God, help me not to wander from my place. Lord, as the pressures increase, God, and as disappointments come, and as hardship comes, and as all these things come my way and all that, God, help me never to wander from that place that you have me to be. And God, I pray that each of us would pray that same thing. And God, if somebody here has wandered in heart or in practicality, God, might they see that dwelling in the congregation of the dead is not a good plan. But getting back, turning back to you, letting the word of truth guide them, proving where they're at, finding themselves in that bad spot, repenting of that, and coming home is the right way to live in your understanding. God, help us, I pray tonight, in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.